Welcome to another deep dive. Today we're going to be exploring the fascinating world of archaeology and the Old Testament.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah. And we're going to be unpacking a lecture from Dr. Jonathan Greer, who brings a really unique perspective to this.
What's so special about him?
Well, he's not just an Old Testament professor, he's also an archaeologist.
Oh, wow. So like a real-life Indiana Jones.
Huh. Well, not quite.
Okay, so what does he do then?
He's actually done hands-on work excavating animal bones at Tel Dan.
So it's like he bridges those two worlds.
Yeah.
You know, he can talk about the ancient texts and the actual physical stuff that they dig up from the ground.
Exactly. And that's what we're going to be looking at today, how these two disciplines, archaeology and the Bible, work together. Do they support each other? Do they clarify things? Or maybe even challenge some of our assumptions?
I'm intrigued already, I have to admit. Whenever I think of archaeology, my mind just jumps straight to Indiana Jones, like I said.
Yeah, we've all been there.
All those, like, grand adventures and lost treasures.
Yeah, right. But Dr. Greer actually describes archaeology more like sophisticated dumpster diving.
Sophisticated dumpster diving.
Yeah, it's less about finding golden idols and more about piecing together the lives of everyday people from the things they left behind.
Hmm. So instead of chasing after treasures, it's more like sifting through ancient trash to understand how people lived.
Exactly. Think broken pottery, leftover food scraps, even microscopic traces of things they used. And what's really cool is that modern archaeology uses all sorts of high-tech tools to analyze those finds, like GPS, satellite imagery, even analyzing the atoms in ancient bones and soil.
Well, that does sound a lot more interesting than just digging holes in the ground.
Yeah.
But how do you actually make sense of all that stuff? You can't just find a pile of broken dishes and instantly know what people believed, right?
Right, Dr. Greer breaks it down into three main parts. Finding the stuff, analyzing it, and then interpreting what it all means. Like putting together a giant puzzle, but with history.
And sometimes there are a lot of missing pieces, I imagine.
For sure. And I imagine your own background and beliefs could influence how you interpret those pieces, too.
You're absolutely right. And speaking of background and beliefs, we need to talk about the Bible itself for a minute.
Okay.
It's easy to think of it just as a book, but it's actually a collection of ancient writings created over centuries. So to understand it properly, we need to know the historical and cultural context.
Yeah, it's like trying to understand a letter written centuries ago without knowing anything about the author or the events of their time. You'd probably miss a lot of the nuances.
Totally. And Dr. Greer makes this great point. The Bible is primarily focused on the relationship between God and his people. It's not necessarily trying to give us a strict historical or scientific record of everything that happened.
Okay, so it's not like we should expect to find archaeological evidence for every single story or detail in the Bible.
Exactly. He gives this example of King Ahab, who is this powerful king during a time of major conflict with the Assyrian Empire. Ahab actually played a key role in this huge battle. But guess what? The Bible doesn't even mention it.
Wow, so even some really significant historical events get left out of the biblical narrative.
It is interesting, isn't it?
So where does that leave us with biblical archaeology? What does that even mean?
Well, think of it as archaeology focused specifically on the time and place of the biblical world. We're talking roughly from the late Bronze Age to the early Roman period, and geographically we're centered on the ancient Levant. Basically the area around modern-day Israel and its neighbors.
Okay, so it's like archaeology with a specific lens trying to understand the world the Bible was written in.
Yeah.
But that brings up a question. Can you actually use archaeology to prove the Bible is true?
That's where things get interesting. There's a whole spectrum of opinions on that. Some scholars think the Bible is a really reliable historical source that can guide archaeological research.
Mm-hmm.
Others are way more skeptical and think it was mostly written for theological or political reasons.
So you have people on both ends of the spectrum and then probably a whole lot of folks somewhere in between.
Exactly. And the truth is, neither the Bible nor archaeological discoveries speak for themselves. They both need interpretation, and everyone brings their own perspectives and biases to that process. We have to be aware of that and approach both sources with a bit of humility.
So it's less about finding a smoking gun that proves or disproves everything and more about a conversation between these two ways of understanding the past.
I like that, a conversation. And in any good conversation, you have moments of agreement, clarification, and maybe even some healthy disagreement. And that leads us nicely into what Dr. Greer calls the three C's, where archaeology and the Bible intersect.
Ooh, I love a good alliteration. Tell me more about these three C's.
Well, sometimes archaeology complements the biblical narrative, offering evidence that supports what we read in the text. Other times it can clarify things, helping us understand ancient practices or beliefs that might seem strange to us today. And then sometimes it complicates things, raising questions or even seeming to contradict parts of the biblical account.
Sounds like we're in for a fascinating ride. I can't wait to dive into those three C's and see what Dr. Greer has to say. All right, so we're back and ready to unpack those three C's where archaeology and the Bible intersect. Let's start with complementarity. What are some examples where archaeology seems to support the biblical narrative?
Well, one that really stands out is the Merneptah Stela.
Okay.
It's a victory monument from this Egyptian pharaoh, basically bragging about all the enemies he conquered around 1209 BC. And guess who's on that list?
Don't tell me Israel.
You got it. And that timing lines up perfectly with when the Bible says the Israelites would have been settling in Canaan after the Exodus.
So it's like having this ancient inscription confirming, yep, those Israelites were definitely around back then.
Exactly. It's pretty amazing.
That's incredible. It's like finding a piece of the puzzle that just fits perfectly. What about other examples? Does archaeology always deal with these grand sweeping events, or can it also shed light on smaller details?
Oh, it can get surprisingly specific. Think about those clay ceilings called bulae. They were used to authenticate documents in the ancient world.
Yeah.
And some of those bulae actually have the names of officials who are mentioned in the book of Jeremiah.
Wait, so we have, what are basically signatures of people who might have interacted with Jeremiah himself?
Exactly. Names like Gedaliah and Uchal, these men were part of the court of King Zedekiah, and they opposed Jeremiah's message. Holding one of those bulae, it's like touching a piece of that biblical story, connecting with individuals who likely knew the prophet personally.
That's wild. Okay, so we have these moments where archaeology seems to back up the Bible. What about that second C, clarity? How can archaeology help us understand things in the Bible that seem confusing or strange to us today?
There's a great example involving these clay liver models that were used for divination in ancient Mesopotamia. People would examine the liver of a sacrificed animal, believing they could predict the future based on its shape and markings.
So it's like ancient fortune-telling, but with livers.
Exactly. And the Bible clearly forbids this practice of divination.
Right.
It's seen as trying to usurp God's authority over the future. Now, here's where the archaeological evidence comes in. The Bible in Leviticus and Exodus specifically instructs people to burn the lobe of the liver during sacrifices.
I see where you're going with this. It's like God saying, you're not going to use this part of the animal for your fortune telling.
Right. The archaeological evidence, those clay liver models, they help us understand this seemingly random detail in the Bible. The prohibition against eating the liver lobe was probably meant to prevent this form of divination.
It's amazing how archaeology can provide that extra context and make things click into place. But let's be honest, sometimes archaeology doesn't make things clearer. Sometimes it throws a wrench in the works. That brings us to the third C, complication.
Yeah, it's important to acknowledge that sometimes archaeological findings don't neatly align with the biblical account. And that's okay. It's not about forcing the evidence to fit a preconceived narrative. It's about being honest about what we find, even when it raises difficult questions.
What are some examples of these complications?
Well, the walls of Jericho are a classic example. Early excavations in the 1930s seemed to confirm the biblical story of Joshua's conquest.
Right.
But later research suggested those walls were actually from a much earlier period. The debate continues to this day with ongoing excavations, potentially offering new insights.
So what do we do when archaeology seems to contradict the Bible? Does that mean we have to throw out our faith?
Not at all. Sometimes the absence of archaeological evidence doesn't mean an event didn't happen.
Yeah.
It might just mean we haven't found the right evidence yet, or that our understanding of the historical context needs to be adjusted.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And Dr. Greer mentions another challenging example, the Exodus. He points out that there's no clear archaeological evidence to support the Exodus narrative as it's described in the Bible.
Yeah, this is where we have to be careful and avoid jumping to conclusions. The lack of evidence isn't proof that something didn't happen. It just means we need to keep searching and be open to different interpretations.
Mm-hmm. So how should we approach these complications, these moments where archaeology and the Bible seem to disagree?
Well, Dr. Greer encourages us to embrace the complexity. These apparent contradictions, they're not threats to faith, but rather invitations to dig deeper, to refine our understanding, and maybe even to discover new insights that we wouldn't have found otherwise.
It sounds like these complications can actually lead to a richer, more nuanced understanding of both the Bible and history.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us to a key point. It's not about trying to prove or disprove the Bible with archaeology. It's about this respectful dialogue between these two ways of knowing recognizing the strengths and limitations of each.
I love that analogy of a dialogue. It reminds us that both archaeology and the Bible have valuable contributions to make in our understanding of the past.
Right.
But before we wrap up our conversation, there's one more important question I want to ask.
Yeah.
What about those of us who are struggling with these complications, these apparent contradictions between archaeology and the Bible? What words of encouragement or advice would you offer?
First, I would say don't be afraid to ask questions. Curiosity is a gift, and it can lead to some incredible discoveries. Embrace those questions, even the tough ones, and let them guide you deeper into the mysteries of both the Bible and the ancient world.
So it's not about shutting down our doubts or trying to ignore the things that don't make sense. It's about leaning into those questions and allowing ourselves to wrestle with them.
Exactly. And I would also encourage everyone to approach both the Bible and archaeology with humility. We don't have all the answers, and we're constantly learning new things. Be open to hearing different perspectives and be willing to adjust your own views as you encounter new information. Remember, the journey of faith is rarely a straight line. It's full of twists and turns, moments of confirmation and challenge.
And those challenges can actually make our faith stronger in the end, right?
Absolutely. It's like refining gold in a fire. The heat might be intense, but it ultimately purifies and strengthens the final product. So let's embrace the complexity, keep asking questions, and keep searching for truth.
Beautifully said. And on that note, we're going to wrap up this deep dive into the fascinating world of archaeology and the Old Testament. We hope this conversation has sparked your curiosity and given you some food for thought. So as we wrap up this deep dive into the world of archaeology and the Old Testament, what's the big takeaway? What should we as listeners carry with us from this conversation?
I think the most important thing is that archaeology and the Bible have this dynamic and really multifaceted relationship. It's not just about finding proof or disproof,
right.
You know. It's about appreciating how these two sources can enrich and challenge our understanding of the biblical world.
It's like we've been given these three lenses, these three C's, to look through complementarity, clarity, and complication. Each one offers a unique perspective on the Bible.
Exactly. Remember those aha moments we talked about?
Mm-hmm.
That's complementarity in action. When archaeology provides tangible evidence that lines up with the biblical narrative, it's like finding a piece of the past that suddenly makes a Bible story come alive.
Yeah, and then we have clarity, those times when archaeology helps us make sense of something in the Bible that seemed puzzling or strange.
Right.
It's like having a guide who can explain the customs and beliefs of that ancient world, giving us a deeper understanding of the text.
And of course, we can't forget about complication. Those instances where archaeology seems to challenge or even contradict our traditional understanding of the Bible.
Yeah, those can be tough.
It can be a bit unsettling, sure. But it also pushes us to think more critically and to engage in a deeper exploration of both the text and the historical context.
It's like that saying, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. Archaeology can open up all these new questions and possibilities.
Absolutely. And that's where the true value of archaeology lies.
Mm-hmm.
It challenges us to move beyond simplistic interpretations and to embrace the complexity and the nuance of both the biblical world and our own faith journeys.
So for those of us who are left with some of those lingering questions, those complications that we might be wrestling with, what advice would you give? How can we navigate those tensions between archaeology and the Bible?
I'd say first and foremost, don't be afraid to ask questions. Curiosity is a gift, and it can lead us to some pretty amazing discoveries. Embrace those questions, even the tough ones, and let them guide you deeper into the mysteries of both the Bible and the ancient world.
It's like we don't have to have all the answers figured out. It's okay to embrace the mystery and to keep searching.
Exactly. And another thing I'd encourage is to approach both the Bible and archaeology with a sense of humility.
Mm-hmm.
None of us have a perfect understanding, and we're all constantly learning and growing. Be open to hearing different perspectives and to having your own views challenged. That's how we grow and deepen our understanding.
So it's a journey in ongoing exploration. And sometimes that journey takes us through some unexpected twists and turns.
And that's okay. Remember, the journey itself is valuable. Those challenges, those moments of questioning and wrestling with ideas, they can actually refine and strengthen our faith in the long run.
So as we conclude this deep dive, we want to leave you with one final thought to ponder. What if, instead of viewing the complexities and challenges raised by archaeology as threats to our faith, we saw them as invitations? Invitations to a deeper, more meaningful understanding of God's story.
It's a powerful thought, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps those tensions between faith and reason, between the ancient world and our modern understanding, can actually lead us to a richer, more nuanced faith.
We encourage you to keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep digging for those treasures of truth that are waiting to be uncovered. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll see you next time for another fascinating exploration.